Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome back to the 10K Collective podcast, the place to be for six, seven and eight figure Amazon sellers. Today, I'm delighted to welcome back one of our founder guests for the show, Ashley Pierce, who is also a member of the 10K Collective Mastermind. In fact, he's been there for just over 2 years, I think now. So pretty much from the beginning, has grown his own Amazon business a huge amount in that time, but also he's recently set up an agency, Future State Media. So we're going to dig into that. So Ashley, first of all, welcome back. Great to have you.
Thank you very much. It's great to be back.
And I believe that was about May 2019 that we interviewed and published a podcast about yourself and your e-commerce journey at that point. And we had you as a guest the year before on Amazing FBA. So it's fantastic to follow somebody's journey over time, I think, because that's where the real learnings are for anyone who wants to build a longer term business. And in this space, I guess the long term means more than a year. People think it's such short chunks, don't they? So what have you been up to since May 2019? It's now February 2020 for anyone listening after that date.
Feels like a tremendous amount of things have happened in that time, and we've moved very, very quickly. As you might have, if you're a returning listener, you might remember we like to implement at the speed of thought is one of our principles in my business, and which is made up of obviously multiple businesses now. In particular, we have the e-com side, but obviously Future State Media is this agency offering. But yeah, we've just talking on the e-com business for a second. Last year, we were setting our sights on a seven-figure financial year, rolling into this time period now. We're on target for that. Maybe a little bit shy of the stretch target that we set ourselves, but it's always good to kind of try and stretch for the stars. And you know, even if we miss it slightly, we'll still end up in amongst some good performance. So our SKU numbers have grown a little bit. But essentially, the big headline number, the revenue growth, is still at around 40 to 50% growth year on year, which is we're really happy with. It's something that can help us sustain and help us grow. That's mainly being fueled by the launching of new SKUs, the staying in stock of existing SKUs, which is just a continual challenge, regardless of where you sit in your Amazon journey, whether you're just starting out, whether you're a seasoned seller. There's still the problem of evaporating stock, as we all refer to it as in the 10K Collective. Yeah, my team have learned a chunk in that time space, and we've been experimenting and testing absolutely loads. We've implemented a bunch of organic traffic strategies and external traffic strategies for Amazon, which is what's led us to the Future State Media agency offering. Just to give you kind of a nice big headline stat, we grew our Google search traffic 1600% during the course of 2019, which is a heck of a number. And it was actually grown through not a tremendous amount of investment in content, but quite a medium-sized investment in content for that level of output. So really, really good. We've implemented a bunch of tactics beyond just content marketing as well.
So I got to dig into that number, because that sounds very juicy. I mean, so revenue's on track. So the e-commerce side is good. You got revenues on track for about 50% growth, which means you're going to double every sort of 18 months or something, doesn't it? It's just a crazy number. And I like the fact that it's one of the unsexy tactics or strategies is staying in stock, which is kind of sounds obvious, but it's, as you say, hard to do. So we've talked about that before, so I don't think we're going to dig into that. But tell me about this organic traffic side a bit. So how did you grow your Google traffic? And by the way, so you grew it how much? 1600% was that, something like that?
1600%.
Okay, yeah, so what base was that on? Like one person to start with, or what was the base number?
So in January 2019, December 2018, we were approximately 500 visitors per month coming via Google. And by the end of the year, we were in excess of 8,000 users per month coming from Google. And that was actually after being slightly hit down by a Google update that came in November that we bounced back from really well, actually better than what we were before in January. So that number could have been even bigger had we not had that little bump. But essentially, that number has been driven primarily about investment in content. But more than that, there's the strategy that sits behind the content, the particular focus on long tail keywords, and even deeper than that, some focus on specific content structures and doing some really deep research on the competition to understand how our content should be written in the first place. So if you can imagine it, the writing of the content is actually like the tip of the iceberg. The work that goes behind it is the big chunk that sits underneath. So that's primarily been the driver there. That doesn't mean to say that we've not been deploying other tactics alongside that. We've kind of been taking the approach of do everything and get behind the things that actually work. And content is one thing, but obviously we've talked previously about our approach to collaboration and influencer marketing, but more for the purpose of not their influence, but the other value-add assets that they provide as they go through that journey. And that's been a significant thing that we've been able to leverage when combining that with the content marketing we've been doing to build good SEO juices flowing through the website in the way that Google wants to see things and see the right markers, the right SEO markers on your website.
Wow. Okay. So that's quite involved sounding, but to simplify it down for somebody with my kind of brain listening, good luck, guys. I like to think that I'm smart, but I quite often feel quite dumb when I'm amongst the 10K collective, and that's probably a good sign. They always say that you should be around people that are, you know, make you feel like you're the dumbest person in the room, which is probably not putting the bar very high in my case. So let's see, what am I trying to say that's useful to people? I guess you start from 500 visitors, you get up to 8,000 a month. I mean, that's obviously a huge increase. I guess what will be interesting is that, by the way, that's not a bad number, because I mean, I manage about 5,000 listeners a month, which is kind of pathetic really after 4 years in business, and I need to get better at that. And I'm actually going to be hiring FSM to take care of some of that, just to put it out there that it's this sort of thing can apply to agencies as well as e-commerce businesses. Obviously SEO is SEO in the end, but the strategy is investing in content focused on long tail keywords, I guess similar to Amazon, that you're not trying to go after the big markets that are hyper competitive. Site structure is interesting, obviously quite a specialist thing, and then deep research of the competition. Again, it strikes me that a lot of Google SEO is the same principles as Amazon SEO, that it's all relative to what the platform's looking for and what the competition's up to, right? How good the competition is and what they offer that could be bettered and could be improved on. So tell me a bit about the how you even arrived at the idea of doing Google traffic, because obviously it's not a completely alien world to a lot of people who are in internet marketing and ended up in the Amazon game, but it is a different world in a lot of ways. So what took you from running an e-commerce business to starting Google strategies?
Yeah, so I think initially, if you go right the way back, we actually started doing some paid advertising, and we saw the cost actually involved in pretty much giving away our product for free, because we were hitting cold traffic and not really having the ability to do the advanced remarketing and loyalty sort of strategies that you can do when you run your own e-com store and you have the full picture of the data. Obviously, connectedness is the issue with Amazon, because your external to Amazon presence isn't necessarily as joined up with Amazon as you'd like it to be. So we just couldn't see a viable route for the paid traffic strategy going forward. So we were looking into other strategies, other industries, adjacent industries where other strategies were being deployed really successfully for not just low cost traffic, but high ROI traffic. I think there's a key difference and key differentiator there, because we were seeking high ROI, not just a low cost. So that kind of pushed us towards the idea of external traffic, particularly using organic traffic from Google, Google SEO. And we explored the Amazon affiliate space and just affiliate marketing in general, actually, because these guys haven't got high margins to play with. They make a meager commission from the people that they refer, particularly from Amazon. You know, maybe a 5% commission on a product, so they haven't got a lot of kind of money to play with. So they go for the lowest cost, highest ROI sources, and they were going after Google SEO. So we thought, hey, if they can do it, we can do it too. But we have the double benefit of actually getting the high margin from the product in comparatively high margin in comparison with what they were getting, plus the ability to potentially generate that commission as well. So yeah, we kind of went down that rabbit hole and we invested quite a lot. I invested in a couple of people in my team to actually advance that strategy a bit further and explore that strategy way further than what was already out there. So we kind of took what the affiliates were doing, and then we threw on a turbo, we threw on a supercharger, and then we did some tuning when we came up.
It's a very engineering metaphor. I like it.
we came up with this absolute animal of a solution in comparison with what everyone else was doing. And like I say, the e-commerce business has allowed us to accelerate that strategy and take it sort of to the next level, certainly further than what any affiliate would take it. Still not investing a tremendous amount of cash, still a very meager investment.
All right, well, we've got to talk about what sort of investment that is. I mean, but first of all, I think just as a sort of more strategic level thinking, which is pretty simple in a way, but it's get outside the Amazon bubble. I mean, actually, you didn't even leave the Amazon bubble. You left the private label bubble and looked at what Amazon affiliates were doing. And I think the other thing that strikes me is, as you shared with me, I think it's James Shramko, quoting somebody else, but I want to try and make sure that I attribute this to you and James, not myself. But I think it's good habits, bad habits, bred in good times. And I think when you have got money to throw around, you throw it around. And if you have not got the money to throw around, you're forced to work lean, and that's more healthy anyway. First of all, it's more profitable, and secondly, if the gates start closing on the profitability of, say, Amazon ads and that sort of thing, which I think everyone can see that trend over time. It's like Facebook or anyone else. They monetize their organic traffic over time with ads. It's a given, I think, that you're going to have a lean way of operating, because in the future, that's the only one that's going to be profitable. So I really like that. All right. Well, yeah, look,
That was actually attributed to Perry Marshall. I did look that
Perry up. Marshall. Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. I'm sure that somebody else said it before him, but yeah, Perry Marshall, also another fantastic business thinker. So let's talk some numbers then. What sort of money does it cost to do Google traffic in that way? I mean, you know, SEO, it's organic, so you're not actually paying for the traffic as such, or it seems like you're not, but you're paying for content. And I guess you can't just slap together some rubbish piece of content and hope to get SEO these days, right?
No, exactly that. And like I say, the content is really the peak of the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg. Is actually the fundamentals that go into behind it, researching not only the keyword that you're targeting, but the other keywords that ultimately you should be targeting along with that keyword. And basically, there's a predetermined content structure that's already been driven by keyword research when you actually start doing this properly. And you can you're essentially serving the customer, serving the searcher a lot better by fully understanding how the article should be put together, because you're targeting several keywords and answering several related queries. Anyway, that's kind of a bit more of a detail on specifically how we do the content, but that kind of alludes to the idea that there's a bit of expense involved, not just in hiring a writer, but actually doing that legwork and doing that foundational work up front. Let alone then, once you've received the content, actually implementing that and doing stuff with your site structure and internal linking and all these other beautiful SEO related things that you can do on site. But yeah, the cost in that strategy for last year, and it's quite actually difficult to separate out certain parts of my team and allocate the costs. But if I was to kind of talk in round numbers, we probably spent in the region of $8,000 to $10,000 to establish that strategy and implement all that content last year. That probably involves a bit of R&D in there as well. But the way to kind of look at that, if I was to spend $8,000 to $10,000 on ads, I get the benefit of the traffic from those ads for the time that my campaign is running. But that investment for me last year, content will, even if we switched off the content strategy today, it will yield in excess of 150,000 visitors to our website this year. So that's a cumulative benefit, and we'll probably manage to achieve another 150,000 users visiting our site from that content that was published in 2019, even in 2021. Because content has a bit of a lifespan to it. We budget based on a 3-year lifespan, but because of the people that we've surrounded ourselves in the affiliate landscape, we got some good benchmarks that actually say that the life cycle of certain content, particularly good evergreen content, could be in excess of 5 years. So in terms of ROI, it's fantastic, but you've got to be thinking about it in the long term, obviously. Because had I evaluated the strategy, say June last year, and said, right, we've invested a ton of cash, getting to that point, what number of visitors are we getting per month? Okay, it's increased, but cost per lead, cost per person is probably quite expensive. But you flip that around and say, actually, what's the future value? And there's a tremendous amount of value in it for us. That's essentially how we've justified investing in that and building on that going forward. Because I don't just want 150,000 visitors this year; I want another 150,000 on top of that too.
Yeah, interesting. So you'll again, for an Amazon seller, we get used to very immediate. I mean, I guess it's one of the many fantastic things before we badmouth Amazon or point out the problems of it, is one of the other fantastic things about it. You run Amazon ads now, you generally see a spike in your sales pretty much within 72 hours. And then if you get organic ranking on the back of that, then that can stick full stop if you really have done a great job on the product and the listing and the pricing is right and you've got good reviews, etc. Right? So we're all familiar with that situation. But to come away from that takes some guts, because if your payoff is, instead of over, say, a week or 3 weeks or 4 weeks, which is a typical Amazon launch, okay, it could be three whole months if you are really in a big market. And of course, that's going to be a lot of cash. We could be talking tens of thousands of dollars on ad spend in the most extreme cases. Well, I guess that would be a bit extreme, but and that plus the cost of reduced price products and stuff. But this one is kind of the opposite mentality for starters, because you've got to be willing to take a 3-year view on the value of it. And then I guess also Google SEO takes several months to even start to show up, right? So you don't even see any results or a traffic spike. Or is that true? I mean, that's one thing that I've been told, but I mean, it sounds like you went from 500 visitors to 8,000 within a year. So presumably that implies that there is some kind of reasonably quick response. I mean, what's your sort of experience?
It's a really good question, because it's one of the ones that we quite commonly from people who we speak to in the agency, thinking that actually every time we write a piece of content, it's going to take 6 or 7 months for that piece of content to rank in Google. This all comes from the thought process or from the very legitimate issue of the Google sandbox. So Google sandbox is basically somewhere where your website goes when it's first launched, because Google doesn't know you haven't got a good digital footprint. Google's still looking at you and thinking, is this a legitimate website? So after, it's not necessarily a time period, it's about an evaluation period and whether you're giving Google all the right signals during that initial phase of a website being launched, very much like giving all the right signals to Amazon that a product deserves to be ranked and deserves to be taken notice of. Google kind of treats your website with a level of arm's length, won't give you particularly good ranking for, say, 6 to 12 months. And then after that point, actually, we have examples where we'll post content 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we'll then request indexing with Google and Bing within minutes of it being posted. Within hours, we're showing up within the SERPs. Not necessarily high, but we do show up in the SERPs almost immediately. And then within the course of that first month, we typically see those rankings move up very quickly. So we can generate traffic from brand new content very quickly without a great deal of that content coming from our email list or anything like that. It's pure Google SEO. Organic traffic, search query led traffic. So yes and no is the answer to that question. It will take several months when you're initially launching your website, but once you're out of that sandbox period, you can literally rank content in a matter of hours. it's that easy.
Okay, so obviously, not only is there a good future value, but it can happen reasonably quickly. So I know that you've created, I'm just do my little plug here for you, because I know that it's easy to end up discussing these things without giving people an easy way to summarize these thoughts. If you want to go to amazingfba.com/Google SEO, Google.seo, I guess people can spell Google by now, then you've got a little cheat sheet to summarize some of the stuff that we've been talking about, which I think is really helpful because Google can become a very confusing thing. Tell us a little bit more about what you think this sort of, if you had to summarize the basics of Google. We've already talked about investing in content is worthwhile. You've got to focus on long tail keywords. Site structure is part of it. Competitive research is part of it. Let's just try and get a little bit more sort of actionable, simple stuff around those things. I know that can get very involved. And obviously, if people want to know more, I guess they should get in touch with you, right? Because that's one of the main things you offer at Future State Media. But tell us a little bit more about the sort of basics of how you decide what keywords to focus on for starters. Because I always find that really hard with Amazing FBA. I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years now, and I always still find that really hard.
Yeah, no, it's a common thing, and actually, there's a little bit of a root in it when we speak to some people. Obviously, we speak to clients who haven't even got websites, who want a website built from scratch, and we also speak to people who have their own either Shopify stores or WooCommerce stores, and they're actually looking for an alternative strategy to the paid advertising strategy, because paid advertising is an extremely expensive way to go, and it's only getting more expensive. Yeah, the common misnomer I think that we see when we're speaking to these people is that there's two approaches to e-commerce SEO. The first approach is to rank pages. So particularly people say things like, how do I rank my chess set at the top of Google? And I want the product page, the chess set product page to be at the top of Google. Now, that's a very different prospect and a very different strategy to what we've been doing within my business. So my business is actually more about creating a list of keywords, an infinite list of keywords, essentially, that we will continually build content on. So as opposed to putting all the effort behind a restricted 100 pages on my website that I've got to get to rank for certain keywords that I'm targeting, I'm actually saying, I'll go out and find more and more keywords as time goes by, and I'll serve those keywords. And even if they do generate me 100 users per month that come to my website and land on my content, that's great. That's fine. That's all I need it to really do. So they're two quite different schools of thought. They do underlying have all the same sort of SEO factors taken into account. The difference is that if you're, for instance, trying to rank your product page for, you know, chess set when you search in Google, the issue you're going to have is you're going to be in a highly competitive niche, and you're going to be constantly needing to jump over the competition with expensive SEO tactics. The other way to look at this is if you do the content strategy right in the way that we've been doing it, you actually don't need to do the SEO bit because you're actually serving people with and serving search queries in a way that means that you don't have to take on any big SEO tactics. And I'll draw the comparison here between Amazon and Google for you, because it's contextually very similar. On Amazon, the whole algorithm is driven by sales velocity. So it's long been an established strategy to give product away at a discount, at a loss, to stimulate that sales velocity, not just at the beginning, but on an ongoing basis. And that's more and more common in more and more niches, that you need to do that to stay not just ahead of the competition, but just to keep up. So that the kind of mechanism there is giveaways and promotions and that type of thing. Well, on Google, the way that you stay on top and the way that you jump ahead of the competition is by generating backlinks. So that's links from other websites pointing at your website, particularly pointing at that web page, and particularly using anchor text in the link from that website to your website for the keyword that you're trying to target. Now, as with Amazon and Google, they'll very quickly pick up when you're doing this kind of stuff. So the impact of the strategy, it can be hampered because you seem to be gaming the system. So again, you not only need to deploy that strategy of link building, or as it is with Amazon giveaways, but you also now need to deploy more and more complex systems that allow you to make the whole process look very natural. So you might be trying to get people to dwell on the page. You might be trying to get people to search, find, buy, and all these kind of, essentially they're tactics to try and make what it is that you're doing look natural. In the very same way, like I say, with Google, you want to build several backlinks that have got these high power and very targeted keywords to your page, for instance. But you then also have to go out and build 10 other links that don't have that anchor text in. So it all makes things look very natural to Google, and like, oh yeah, somebody happened to mention your website and that particular page with the very keyword that you were targeting. So yeah, there are kind of contrasting comparisons there. And like I say, they're the expensive versions, whether it's Amazon SEO or Google SEO. Chasing backlinks and doing that type of activity is something you'll just forever be doing. And if you're very concentrated on ranking a single listing, as you do on Amazon, or a single page, as you would on Google, if you're approaching e-commerce SEO in that way, that's a very expensive strategy. And that's not the strategy that we've been following, essentially. We've taken quite a different route. and that is, as I kind of mentioned earlier, the long tail keyword, and not just picking 10 long tail keywords and then trying to concentrate on just getting those 10 pages to rank, but getting 10 pages to rank this month and then another 10 pages to rank next month and then publishing another 10 pages the month after that. So it's a different strategy. It doesn't demand as much of the high cost tactics as are involved with backlink building as it is in Google. Or like I say, giveaways, as is the kind of analogous comparison that I would make on Amazon.
So for me, it strikes me that this is a little bit like getting going after a keyword niche, which I guess is the commonality between Amazon and Google, right? They're kind of both search engines. Well, they both are search engines, but Amazon's, I suppose, a shopping engine, if that's the right word. And on Amazon, you might say, well, I want to go after something that is fairly obscure, that doesn't have a lot of searches, but then I'm going to put about 15 variations on the listing. And between those, they'll get me a nice, you know, at several thousand dollars a month or pounds a month in revenue. So is that kind of the same thing, that you're after lots and lots of linked pages that each try and rank for a long tail keyword, and together they add up to a decent amount of traffic? Is that more or less what the sort of equivalent is?
Most definitely, yeah. And okay, that kind of alludes to the next kind of aspect of that strategy, and the fact that content structure on your website is quite critical. So just chasing after any old keyword that's not related to the next keyword and not related to the next keyword is just not a good strategy. It's not a good strategy on Amazon or off Amazon. It's a bad strategy anywhere you go.
Yeah, it's what my guest Tommy Griffiths called the shower thought, which is how I've created a great deal of my podcast, hence why I think our SEO is horrible, considering we've got sort of 400 pages or so of blog posts and more than that. So yes, I can be an example of how it's not done in a lot of ways. It's not an e-commerce example, but Google SEO is SEO. So I can vouch for the fact that that is not a good strategy for sure.
And don't get me wrong, if you're producing content that people actually want, what actually happens, as it happened in your case, you build up such a repertoire of content and actually quite a lot of authority within your domain, which is kind of a metric by which Google analyzes your website and kind of sees whether it, how worthy it is, how good your site is, how many kind of votes it's got. But you end up in a situation where you've got a kind of sprawl of keywords, this reasonable authority, and you're not necessarily leveraging all of the assets that you have to the level that you should be. So actually then, by addressing that structural issue, you can leverage what you already have quite quickly. When obviously you're starting out the blocks, it's a good idea to try and leverage that early on and do it by design, as opposed to trying to kind of instill it retrospectively. But it is applicable in either way. You know, it's not too late to go and fix something you have been doing. You know, there's always a place for it. You know, when I hear about people deleting content, I feel like it needs to be a very, very strategic decision as to what you do. And when it comes to deleting content, because that content has had a life, it's aged on the Google index, and it might still serve value in some way. And there are multiple ways in which you can make it serve value, even if it comes down to redirecting that page to serve another page. and to provide that another page with a bit of a boost. But yeah, the way that you'd probably refer to this, and particularly the Amazon affiliates would kind of understand it, is clusters, keyword clusters. If you can imagine what you're trying to do with your content is potentially make a few pages in particular stand out from the rest and gain more of the organic traffic than others. So the way that you can do that is by basically pointing lots of internal links from your other related content, very related content, has to be related, it has to be relative, and pointing all that inwards towards that central to cluster page. Now, again, the way you do that in an e-com business versus if you were to look at it for a local business or just an online business website, would be quite different. And we've dealt with taking that approach for agencies as well as dealing with that approach. We're doing it for e-com businesses. And then again, it's quite different when you look at it from an affiliate perspective. But yeah, there's site structure is really important.
And okay.
Internal linking has got kind of come to its level of popularity, particularly over the last 12 months.
Okay, very interesting. Now, so this brings us back then to the very simple, well, not simple, the question of how do we apply this in an e-commerce site? Because obviously, I guess there are various potential plays. I mean, first of all, there are different people that would be interested in this, the people that call themselves, I suppose, e-commerce sellers who are principally around Shopify or WooCommerce or whatever their platform is, their own site. Then there's the pure Amazon sellers, if there be such a thing. And then there's the Amazon agency sellers, most of whom, in my experience, have an Amazon business like yourself. And when I talk about in the next episode how you even came to start up an agency and why, how that all grows out and is that a good plan and so forth. But bring it home then. Let's assume that for the majority of listeners that they are very focused on Amazon. How would you make use of, or how would this whole ability to rank sites on Google then feed into an Amazon-based business? Or is this purely for Shopify owners?
No, it's a great question because, and it's again, a common misunderstanding with so many of the people that we speak to, in that they think that if we've got an online store, it needs to be that the checkout page is within your own online store. But it's so commonly misunderstood that we're kind of really trying to educate our clients on this and our prospects. But essentially, if you own the traffic, if you can bring the traffic into your website, you can make a decision as to what you want to do with that. So whether that is converting that traffic on your website and putting them through a checkout flow and all that kind of stuff, that's great. You know, that's a typical Shopify play. But equally, I kind of refer back to the affiliate space again. There are affiliates out there who are driving millions and millions of page views and sessions in Amazon traffic that have driven that ultimately from lots of Google search result traffic. And they have no checkout. There is no process on their website for purchasing anything. All they do is they're directing that traffic via a call to action on their website to Amazon. So it's a very common place, and it's a very understood direction and process by the consumer as well. So we're not talking here about something that's going to have to shift consumer behavior or the way that people already shop. This is something that's already going on. And that's why we've kind of tried to break it down into kind of two approaches that you can take and still drive the traffic on Amazon, drive the sales to Amazon. So we actually take both approaches because we've got two websites that we drive this traffic via. So on the one website, the brand-led website, we have a WooCommerce store set up. So we have product pages like you would expect to see on any Shopify store or a WooCommerce store that had a checkout flow. But equally, we have a blog, which is sprawling with affiliate offers, not just not our products necessarily, but other people's products, but that are very related to our niche. So people who are in the market and interested in our product are also in the market and interested in these other products that we're promoting. As a result, when we put ads in front of these people within our own content, we get the click-throughs and we get the drive-through again to Amazon. But we have also this general feeling on the website that it's very brand-led and it feels and looks like an online store, an online shop. If you kind of navigate through the website from homepage forwards, but as it actually happens, a lot of our users come in via our blog post and then get redirected through the website, and then realize that there's that kind of offering. But all of that traffic, whether it goes to the product page or the blog post, ends up being diverted to Amazon.
So one hard question that strikes me, sorry, and we'll come back on whatever that thought was, but I'm just conscious of the more skeptical, and it's never a bad idea to be skeptical when people are talking digital marketing, right? Yeah. The skeptical e-commerce owners will be saying, okay, so I've spent whatever it is, a few thousand pounds or dollars to get the content and the structure done. Maybe I've got myself up to 8,000 visitors from 500. It's a great achievement in some ways in terms of traffic. What is the value of that traffic relative to the cost of the traffic?
Yeah, that is a good question when it comes to kind of turning that ROI around. So the way to kind of look at this is there are multiple conversion mechanisms that you can put in place between once you have that traffic, you can do stuff with it, right? And you can choose to do what you want with it. So we, as an example, have an ad that basically we've actually flipped it around. It was 50% off. We're now doing buy one, get one free just to kind of split test the ideas. But we bring people through a flow. They get a promotional discount code that allows them to get buy one, get one free. And then they get into our email list. And I'll talk about other mechanisms for monetizing that email list because of the types of products we sell. We're not necessarily massively into repeat purchases. So we then further monetize our affiliate list. Email list with affiliate offers of other products, because otherwise we're just generating an email list that we can't monetize, which doesn't seem sensible. What that then drives for us, particularly contextually for us, let's give you an idea of kind of some general, round some numbers off. So in the States, for instance, let's say 500 units per month of our sales are coming through PPC currently. So at 50% off, or buy one, get one free, through selling on Amazon, we actually, that's the equivalent of selling those 500 units PPC at, I think it's like 38% ACOS, but let's call it 40% ACOS. And then I can't remember how that transfers through to the TACOS or ATOS. But that kind of gives you an idea of if you've got a campaign that's running at 40%, in our instance, we've got a campaign that's running at 40% ACOS and delivering those 500 units. Actually, we're just as well selling those 500 units by referring people via our website and giving them 50% off and delivering the same impact on sales velocity.
Okay, so it's a kind of equivalent of 500 PPC sales, effectively, if I want to put it in round numbers. All right, yeah. And I guess the difference is that this is under your control and has a longer lasting impact, so that whatever you've spent on it already should stick around, as you said, the lifetime, expected lifetime value of the advertising about 3 years, whereas obviously on Amazon, you have to keep spending the money every time. And then I guess also the likelihood is that the direction is up, right, with Amazon ad costs.
Yeah.
It's interesting that it sounds good. I guess, I suppose the question is why bother doing this has always got to be uppermost in people's minds. And that's a reasonable question. And I guess you're beginning to answer that. I guess that it partly comes down to, I suppose, what your comfort zone is or what your company's skill set is. I mean, because creating content sounds like it's a very involved business and it's a different skill set. And obviously, I guess that's why people hire you guys as an agency to do that. Talking of which, I guess we ought to begin to wrap this up, and I ought to make sure that I give people the ways to get in touch with you and a quick rundown of what you do, because obviously this is very involved and this is the sort of point where you might be thinking, I get the value, but this is flipping complicated. I need some help, which is not surprising. I myself am in exactly the same position, which is why I'm hiring Future State Media to work not on an e-commerce site as such, but to work on an e-commerce agency site, I suppose, effectively, that, that Amazing FBA is. So I put my money where my mouth is. But if you want to get a Google SEO cheat sheet, you can go to amazingfba.com/Google SEO and just... actually just quickly run over what the FSM, what Future State Media's services are for e-commerce sellers.
Yeah, of course. So we primarily started out with this whole development of Google SEO and our ability to generate content, but also do all the work behind that content. So we'll manage that end-to-end, essentially keyword research, content outlines, through to managing the content production and then publishing that content on a website. So we can do that. And if you have an existing website, we can happily plug our system and our process into doing that, and set up all the measurement and systems that we need to make sure that we're keeping an eye on hitting targets and actually delivering that ROI. So that's kind of a backbone, if you like. But fundamentally, we've done a tremendous amount in our kind of innovation in the past year. And as a result, we've developed other arms and legs to that kind of service spine, in that we'll fundamentally develop a website from scratch. And when I say develop, we're actually WordPress integrators as opposed to developers. We put together good tech stacks. We know what technology works together well, and we want to know what technology doesn't work together well. So that's really important when it comes to websites, because it's very easy for things to fall over. And it can become time intensive just because the early selection of those things has gone awry. So we'll do that website build from scratch, and that'll involve the graphic design through to uploading products. If you want to take the brand-led website approach, we'll upload your entire product catalog and basically replicate that across from Amazon. And then obviously, like I say, fill in the blanks in terms of running your blog. We also, because we kind of jumped on the Pinterest bandwagon quite early, going back quite a while now, actually, probably 18 months, we started playing with it. And then we kind of really got behind it at the beginning of 2019. And that developed us an awful lot of capability in Pinterest SEO. Typically, you'll find a lot of people talking about kind of the fluffier kind of mechanisms around Pinterest. But fundamentally, we offer Pinterest SEO as a content and traffic amplification method. But we're also working with clients on a pure product SEO kind of led approach with Pinterest. So that's a fundamental one in there. But coming back to kind of the levels of stuff that we're doing with you, Michael, we'll also look at established websites that have had strategies deployed to them in the past, and we'll do full sweeps and audits and understand what the low hanging fruit is, and kind of 80-20 it and get in there and get really down and dirty with some of the keywords and see what we can do to optimize what's already there and leverage the value you've already got. And that's a great way to demonstrate some early ROI. It's a far cry from launching a brand new website, which can often be an endeavor that takes a bit of commitment, the sort of level of commitment that it takes when you're first starting out and you decide that you're going to launch a product on Amazon. You've got to go on that learning curve with Amazon. The lucky thing with us with Future State Media is we've gone on that learning curve with all these strategies. And we can kind of help you through that. You just need to commit the budget and commit some of that kind of energy to making sure that it gets implemented.
And yeah, thank you for saying that, by the way. I think there's a common misconception amongst physical product sellers, who absolutely rightly understand that developing a product is a lot of time, sweat and effort, and then it's a lot of money and you've got your capital tied up in it. But what those same people quite often I found is that if you mention email marketing, they kind of treat it quite casually, and then one or two people in any serious mastermind that I've worked with that have actually done it will say, oh yeah, we did that, it worked really well, got a nice ROI for us, but it cost us £30,000 to get it written and properly structured and tested. And it took 6 months to get the return, and then people suddenly lose interest. So I think it's like anything else. You have to take this seriously. I mean, you have to be convinced that it has value. And hopefully that's one of the purposes of today's discussion, is just to, you can't just completely assess that for yourself on the basis of one podcast interview at all. But hopefully it's got people's minds running in that direction. Because as you said, I mean, any e-commerce seller, and we're both in the game and we work with people who are in the game all the time, is going to tell you that, the Amazon ads direction is only going one way. And so having no future alternative may seem okay right now, but it's early 2020. By the early 2021, that's not going to look so smart. And if it takes you 12 months to get out of the sandbox, I guess the time to start exploring it is now, right?
Yeah, most definitely.
It always strikes me, I mean, even if you decide for very rational reasons based on your understanding of the finances and your inclinations towards physical products and moneyballing, as it were, and that sort of cash flow that you can get from products on Amazon, you might go a completely different route. But I think considering it is something I'd urge anybody to take more seriously than they may have done in the past. You might have just seen external traffic as a luxury that you can bolt on. I think it's beginning to become a must-have to mitigate that on Amazon cost. And listen, there's tons we can talk about, but we need to kind of leave the podcast at a level that's consumable by your average person. That's, I just say average is not right, because the average person listening to this shouldn't be an average person. They should be a go-getter, hungry entrepreneur. But even so, I just mentioned that if people want to get hold of you, you're going to go to futurestatemedia.com. And what's your email address there? Is that a good way to get hold of you?
Yeah, best way to get hold of me is ashley@futurestatemedia.com. That's A-S-H-L-E-Y. Yeah.
Exactly what I was going to say. You're always going to spell this stuff on podcasts. Well, look, Ashley, it's been very, very interesting. I mean, sort of a lot to get your head around. As ever, folks, if you want to get your head around it more easily or take detailed show notes for every single episode, typing away while my poor guests are speaking, so go to amazingfba.com/ Google SEO for the cheat sheet, or for the notes I've made, go to 10kcollective.com, just to keep the URLs busy. 10k for kilo, C for Charlie, 10kcollective.com, and you'll find some very detailed notes there. And I'd urge you to read them if you're in any way serious about this, because it just takes a bit of getting your head around, but very worthwhile, I think. Ashley, thank you very, very much for sharing all your expertise on Google SEO and off Amazon traffic.
Thank you.